Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Let Them All Talk, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, and Boys State.
Two of the films that I want to talk about today have got very strong women at the center. And then their third one is quite a change of pace from there. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. So let's start with Let Them All Talk. This is the latest movie from Steven Soderbergh, one of the really major, more or less independent filmmakers of our time. He made a smashing debut way back in the late 80s with Sex, Lies, and Videotape, and has been working very hard ever since, making all kinds of movies. And I'll just mention that he also is his own cinematographer, although he does that under a pseudonym. And a while back, he retired from filmmaking, but like so many other people who retire from filmmaking, he's gone right ahead making films. He has turned to making them more for TV and that kind of thing. So Let Them All Talk is very, very much a real major movie in all kinds of ways, especially with its all-star cast. It was made more or less for TV, and it's very widely available streaming now. So it's a regular movie, but Steven gets to say that he's still retired from filmmaking, I guess. And what we have in this movie is, as I mentioned, a really spectacular cast of three women: Meryl Streep, Diane Wiest, and Candice Bergen. And also there's a young man who's the other really major character of the movie. Lucas Hedges plays him. And then there's a sort of a secondary female character played by Gemma Chan. And this movie faces a little bit of a challenge in its narrative. Whenever you have a movie that nowadays that takes place on a train or on a ship or something, you have to make some excuse for why the person isn't simply getting on an airplane and flying there. So that's the case here. What we have is these three women not on a cruise. The movie makes that very clear. They're on a crossing. They're crossing on a luxury liner from the United States to England. And the reason why they have to do this on a ship is said very vaguely early on. The character who is the reason for this big excursion is the one played by Meryl Streep, who is a famous author, and she just explains, even though she really wants to get to England for this awards ceremony, she can't fly. That's all. She simply says, "I can't fly." Now, we find out why that is very, very near the end of the movie, and I won't give that away. But the point is, she can't fly. Therefore, she has to make the crossing on a ship. And her publisher, she's a writer, is going to pay for all of this. And she gets to bring along a couple of old friends of hers. And that's where the Diane Wiest character and the Candice Bergen character come in. They haven't really seen much of each other for a lot of years now, but they're all going to get together on this cruise, or this crossing, excuse me, and they're going to pay a lot of attention to each other, and it's going to be very interesting. So that is the premise of the movie. A little bit more about the premise. Meryl Streep, again, she plays a writer. Actually, she's a very, very major author who's won a Pulitzer Prize, but she also seems to be having a lot of trouble now getting her latest work continued and completed. And she appears to have developed a sort of a pretentious streak, which doesn't please everybody around her. But she's the big deal. She's the big reason. She's the big famous author, and she's why they're all on this crossing. And the other two women, again, the Diane Wiest and Candice Bergen characters, they're not big fancy authors like her. In fact, they live more modest lives, especially the Candice Bergen character, who once upon a time had a lot of money and prestige, but now is reduced to selling clothing in a store. So we have various sort of interactions and conflicts among them. And again, the young man of the action, played by Lucas Hedges, is the nephew of the Meryl Streep character, and he's sort of along for the ride to be her assistant and so forth, and he also gets involved in the action, especially when he begins to have a romance with a young woman who's also on the ship. So that's what it's about. Now, I have to quote my partner, Makita, who, after we looked at this movie, said, "This is Golden Girls for the literary set." And that's exactly what it is. We have these three older women, and we have all of their sort of charmingness and crabbiness, and they've been around the block a few times, and they're a little bit cynical in different ways. And I think the most amusing contrast in the film involves the Meryl Streep character and the other two, because she really has gotten sort of pretentious, and she says all these things in this sort of serious, syrupy voice, which are, if you really listen to them, really just sort of cliches and platitudes and whatnot. So there's sort of amusing stuff going on there. I found Let Them All Talk to be an amusing trifle, a diverting trifle. There is nothing major about it. It's a rom-com. It's a serious sort of dramedy kind of a thing. And it has its serious moments and it has its amusing moments, but none of it cuts very deep. So I think this is one of Steven Soderbergh's minor works, but it's fun and it's nice. And if you want to see these three fine actresses, all of whom are in excellent form, you really get to have a feast of them. That's really what the movie is more than anything else, is a feast of fine women playing fine parts in a movie that really ultimately doesn't add up to much. It's fun, but not much more than fun. Second movie I'd like to talk about is also has a very strong female at its core. It's a movie that is written and directed by Rada Blank. It's her first real feature film, and it's called The 40-Year-Old Virgin. And of course, this plays off the title of The 40-Year-Old Virgin, which was a Judd Apatow movie of about 15 years ago. But The 40-Year-Old Virgin is very, very, very different. Rada Blank is a black performer, and her performance at the center of this movie, I said she's the director and writer of it, she also is the star of it. She gives a very, very strong performance in the middle of this movie, in the center of it. And she is a New York playwright. She is someone who writes for the theater and who has great ambitions along these lines and who has had some success, although right now her luck doesn't seem to be at its strongest. And she is just about to turn 40. Oh, it is going to happen so soon. That is where the title of the movie comes in. And she would really like to have a real success, some sort of a real, real major achievement before she turns 40, and it's not at all clear that that's going to happen. Her latest play is about to be produced, but it's not 100%. It will be produced, and if it is produced, it may be in just sort of a workshop performance, which wouldn't be so hot, and so she's frustrated, so she decides to reinvent herself as a rapper. I guess a lot of people do that, so now she all of a sudden is going to be a rapper, and that's a part of the movie. She has to figure out how to do this. She gets in touch with somebody who has connections in the rap world, and she has a sort of a semi-sinister meeting with somebody, and she sort of is caught up in what may be an underworld, or it may just be a scene of a very different kind from what she is used to. In any case, that's what it's about. But she still would really love to get her play produced, and it looks like that might happen, and maybe she won't have to become a rapper after all, and that is what the movie is about. Now, one of the things about The 40-Year-Old Virgin, it's a very, very nice movie in all kinds of ways, but one of the things about it is that it's more than 2 hours long, and it really does not have to be that. It really does start to drag after a while. I only wish that it were tighter, that it were constructed with a bit more discipline to it. I think that as a director and as a writer, Rada Blank has real talent, but she has yet to really find herself. I think this movie rambles a bit. She isn't quite 100% clear exactly what she wants to focus on. But with those sort of somewhat negative things being said, I have to say that her performance as the main character, whose name, by the way, is Rada, the movie appears to be semi-autobiographical, as that character, Rada Blank, is absolutely terrific. It's a strong, solid, funny, and yet serious performance. She is just excellent, excellent, excellent as an actor. So that's the reason to watch this movie, I would say. Oh, you know, if you're interested in the rap scene or if you're interested in the off-off Broadway theater scene, then definitely catch it. It's definitely for you. But for everybody else, the real reason to watch this movie is not so much the plot, it's not so much the theme as that major performance in the middle. And yeah, the theme, because it's about the troubles, the difficulties that a woman who is no longer young can face in the entertainment field, in the arts field. This is notorious in our time. And Rada Blank is somebody who is really overcoming that as we watch. She's doing it in this movie. And also she's playing a character who is doing that. So again, it's a likable movie. I really wish I could be more in its corner than I am, but I just don't feel that Rada Blank, as a writer-director, has quite hit her stride yet. She very well may do that in her next project, whatever that turns out to be. But as an actor, she is just terrific, and she has a marvelous supporting cast around her. So that's the reason to watch the 40-year-old version. It's a very, very good movie about acting, and it's a somewhat good movie about aging and trying to be in the entertainment field when the odds are kind of stacked against you, but you are determined to do it. Our third movie today is very, very different because it's a documentary and because it's not about women at all. In fact, there's hardly a woman in the whole movie, but that's for a very good reason. Boys State is a documentary, and it centers on a program which has been run way back since the 1930s by the American Legion. And what the American Legion does is it gets together a whole bunch. Well, there's actually two different programs. There's a Boys State program and a Girls State program. This movie focuses on the Boys State program. And what they do is they get a whole lot of kids around 17 years old, and they choose them, they select them, you apply, you have to be chosen, and then you are engaged in this program where these young boys get together and they actually do all kinds of government activities that they basically construct a government. So the American Legion, of course, a phenomenally patriotic organization. And what they're doing here is training young people, teaching young people, instructing young people in the art of politics and what politics is for and what politics means by allowing them to construct their own government, have their own campaigns, and ultimately somebody is elected governor. That's the highest offer, office, I mean, that is in play here. So what you have is way over 1,000, I think it's approximately 1,400, 1,500 kids approximately 17 years old who are all getting together in this program, and what they are divided arbitrarily at the beginning of the exercise into two different parties. There's the nationalists and there's the federalists. And this happens just, they're just assigned to one group or the other. So you have these two groups of equal size. And then what they have to do is they separate into their two groups and they have to come up with a platform, what they stand for. Then they have to elect officers to be organizing this and running this. And then ultimately they have elections for the big three posts, one of which is attorney general, and then the highest one of all, which is the governor. That's the highest post. And there's a lot of suspense over who is going to be elected governor. So as documentaries of this sort tend to do, Boys State focuses on a handful, a very, very few of these kids. I'm calling them kids. They're almost young adults. They're around 17 years old. So that we kind of have a focused picture and we center in on just what a few of them are doing and how they're reacting to this and what it all means to them. And that's what the movie follows. So one of the things that interested me about the movie, let's say the American Legion is not known for being an especially left-leaning group. They're very, very patriotic, and they're very invested in traditional values and all that sort of thing, which, of course, has a bright side and a dark side to it, in my opinion. But one thing that interested me is that some of the things that you might have thought would be – by the way, this is all in Texas. I should mention that, too. So if one subscribes to easy stereotypes of institutions like the American Legion or a state like Texas, one might expect a whole lot of conservatism to be surfacing here. And that really does happen. There's really, it turns out that if you have, for example, a pro-choice position on abortion, you may have a certain handicap in the office that you're running for or the position that you would like to hold. If you believe in gun control, for example, this turns out to be another sort of a handicap. So that is all true. But on the other hand, some of the things that one might think of in terms of stereotypes, again, of patriotic organizations and a southern state, such as racism and ethnic prejudice and so forth, really turn out to not be so true, because some of the kids who really achieve a lot in this, not necessarily triumphing at the end, but there are black kids, there are Hispanic kids, there's one kid who has multiple handicaps, he's disabled, and these young boys really, they prosper quite well. They do well in this atmosphere. There does not appear to be any sort of prejudice against them or bias in that broad sense. So in some ways, the movie bore out the stereotypes that I was expecting. Yes, there's a lot of pro-gun gun sentiment. Yes, there's a lot of anti-choice sentiment. But on the other hand, there's a fair amount of sort of inclusivity and openness to different kinds of people and different ethnicities and races and whatnot. So I found that fairly refreshing. The whole process, even though this movie details it in a lot of ways, remains a little bit murky by the time you get to the end of it. I mean, you have all these kids who have been arbitrarily placed into a political party that really has, at the beginning, nothing more than a name, and they have to come up with a platform, and it's not clear that anybody is really standing for anything that they truly believe in. It seems to be more taking positions that you think might win you votes, and I found that a little bit murky, a little bit, you know, not exactly admirable. But some of the things that emerged in the case of the movie with these individual boys who are focused on are really, really interesting. We have one boy who says with great sincerity at one point in an interview with the camera, "I've really come to understand how politicians have to lie if they want to get votes," he says very sincerely and very heartfeltly. Another boy explains his great admiration for Napoleon and about how that's the kind of leader he wants to be. And it's all very sincere, and it all is also just so wrong-headed in some ways. So I found Boys State to be not a riveting documentary, but a very interesting one that reveals a lot about today's youth, about today's, let's say, conservative politics, and about how there are certain organizations that are trying to shed a lot of light on the political system without maybe 100% succeeding in that. So it's an interesting documentary, an instructive documentary, and one which I wasn't thrilled by, but which I definitely recommend. So that is my somewhat variegated story this week.
For which we thank you very much, as ever, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Let Them All Talk, the 40-year-old version, and Boys State.